The faith system.
Before Billy Sunday introduced the idea that everyone who came forward in an altar call was a convert, the parable of the seed. Matthew 13:18-23, taught most people would receive the gospel with joy, but, if their hearts were not right, they would not be saved. The parable of the tares. Matthew 13:24-30, taught the difference between false converts and saints, regardless of outward appearances, and how the enemy would try to use those tares to destroy the church. But now it seems modern science has overcome the deficiencies of the human heart, and defeated the devil as well.
Once upon a time,
in the Cumberland Valley, on opposite sides of the road leading into town, there were two farms with identical soil and terrain. For 12 generations, the two families were content to produce 25 bushels of wheat per acre. They worked hard, fertilizing and tilling the soil in the spring, protecting the crop from birds and insects during the growing season and carefully separating the tares from the wheat at harvest time. Using the methods of their fathers, they kept the seed free from tares. Then, in 1918, one of the farmers read in Freethinker magazine about a new way to assure a high yield of wheat without the fuss of using extra fertilizer, tilling or picking off insects. One of the great advantages of the system over traditional methods was it guaranteed tares would no longer be a problem, because tares could now be treated as wheat. The theory was, if you ignored the tares, they would eventually become wheat, thus increasing the yield. It was called the faith system. This system guaranteed that every seed would produce a healthy stalk of wheat, resulting in at least 100 bushels per acre. The only requirement was the farmers must encourage the soil to believe it was capable of producing fruit from every seed. Freethinker listed a few tried and true slogans to tell the soil. Believe you can produce fruit from every seed, and believe and you will produce, were the most popular. The words of the slogans were not as important as the way they were spoken. Freethinker suggested perhaps just yelling the word, believe, over and over again would have the same result, and the more emotional the delivery, the better. For this reason, some farmers employed out-of-work Shakespearean actors to address the fields. To believe or not to be believe, that is the question. Believe could be heard day and night on the more progressive farms. The farmer put down the Freethinker magazine and decided to put the faith system to the test. He hired an unemployed Shakespearean actor to encourage his fields. That first year, the fields seemed more full of wheat than ever. When reaping time came, the tares were harvested along with the wheat. Since there was no separating, every year before, tares were burnt so as not to contaminate the wheat, but now, the seed for next year's planting was a mixture of wheat and tares. The seed mixture did wonderfully, and since tares have few natural enemies, and grow more vigorously than wheat, within 20 years the faith system was producing 100 bushels per acre. The fact that it was mostly tares was irrelevant. Although the new type of wheat had almost no nutrition, and the bread made from it was unhealthy, this was a small price to pay for such a fantastic yield. The farmer across the road didn't adopt the faith system, and continued to produce only 25 bushels of wheat per acre. He didn't begrudge his neighbor, and never complained about having to burn more tares than ever before. Wind blew the seed across the road, but he dreaded going into town, for when he went to the general store, sometimes people would point at him and say, "See how foolish that fellow is. He only produces 25 bushels of wheat per acre." Jesus used many parables to illustrate why so few people get saved. Whether he spoke of seeds, tares or the leaven of the Pharisees, the message was clear: you can't save more people by lowering the standards of the gospel. The faith system removed the biblical requirements of true repentance and water baptism, and replaced them with a simplistic understanding of Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. More will be said on this subject later, but for now, let's just agree with James. James 2:19, that even devils could be saved, if the definition of saving faith is just believing in God. The result of the faith system is millions of tares have been told they are born again, effectively lowering the expectation of Christian morality. The faith system grew from a man-centered psychological paradigm that teaches faith is just another word for having hope, that God has removed the penalty for sin, and repentance is just another word for being sorry for being a sinner. The faith system depends on the mindset of the person you're trying to save. The main objective is to get the penitent to make a commitment to Christ, and then convince him he is saved as the result. Most pastors and evangelists assume it's always God's will to save every lost person who comes to the altar, regardless of their specific needs at the time. In fact, counselors at some events are trained to keep on track at all costs, and consider legitimate reservations of inquirers to be diversions from the purpose of getting them saved. Counselors are taught to tell inquirers, "Don't believe your feelings, believe the Word of God." They are understandably concerned that most inquirers have no internal witness that anything has changed. For most, nothing has. The Word of God in this case replaces God as the focus of trust. It is no longer necessary to have supernatural faith from God, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. If you have no substance and no evidence, all you have left is a natural faith, which is really hope, in the Word of God. How did the definition of saving faith evolve? According to John Dillenberger and Claude Welsh, a terrible inversion had taken place. Religion had been substituted for God. The process was similar to the later development of Lutheranism, in which the doctrine of justification by faith in God had been subtly transformed into faith in faith itself, that is, into a confidence in the saving power of faith, rather than the God of faith. Now liberalism had fallen before the same temptation, by putting the emphasis on religion rather than God. Inversion of faith whereby a man puts himself into the center, constructs an anthropocentric universe, and makes confidence in his own value, rather than faith in God in the beginning. Trusting in God's word for salvation has replaced trusting in God for salvation for the same reason trusting in God's word for healing and prosperity has become popular. According to the New Faith theology, God has to provide salvation, healing and prosperity, as soon as the enlightened person demands it, by faith. Of course, this makes the obtaining of salvation much easier on the minister, because the specific will of God for the individual is no longer uncertain. But this man-centered theology makes sense only if God doesn't meddle in the process. An omniscient personal God is no longer needed or welcome. For the faith system to work, God must distribute salvation equally and without prejudice. He must turn a blind eye to the specific needs of individuals and their circle of influence. Everyone who says the prayer with sincerity must be born again for the system to work. That's why believing you're saved is so important.